anything combat with Johnny K.
But it's anything combat, though.
Welcome back, combatants of the Anything Combat Show. I'm your host, Johnny K. Today, we're joined by someone who is a frequent of the show, head coach of Freestyle MMA, UFC Championship level coach, and the coach of Volkanovski, Joe Lopez. Welcome to the show, Joe.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Let's talk about JDM and the fight that took place with Makhachev. So how much work did you get to actually work with JDM? How involved were you?
I just flew over there for a week or just over a week. Alex was there the week before me. So wasn't much. We're just there to support him. He's a good guy, good representative, Australian MMA. Unfortunately, it wasn't his night.
What do you think went wrong during the fight, seeing that when Volkanovski took on Makhachev with a similar type of game plan with the Craig Jones and the no-gi jiu-jitsu that those guys have been working on, it was very effectual for Volkanovski, and he was able to get out of the positions. But JDM, who I thought might even have better jiu-jitsu than Volkanovski, for some reason wasn't able to get out of those positions when Makhachev took him down.
Look, like I said, I don't think it was Jack's night. I know Jack usually performs a lot better, whether he got hurt, it was an off night. You know, Jack's the one that can answer that question. But I know, and I know Jack knows he can do a lot better than that. He just had a bad night, you know. And I think we all know Jack's a lot better than that. But, you know, we don't know what happened or what's going on behind the scenes. But like I said, Jack can only answer that question.
What work did you get to do with him? Did you get any pads in? Did you give him any game planning? Or did you just let Vickers take kind of the rein and just show support?
Yeah. It was, you know, I'll give him a few tips here and there, you know, but, you know, Ben's got that under control. It's Ben's gym. But it was, you know, it's always good to have, you know, work with Jack and have him around. He's a good dude.
The last time you came on the show, I started talking to you about the featherweight division and how I thought Diego Lopez is the hardest matchup out of anyone, including Lerone and Movsar. And I understand what the UFC is doing in terms of matchmaking. I believe that they are trying to show that if you're active in the division and you're showing that activity and you're fighting often, then you get the result, you get the opportunities. And I just feel like, you know, Movsar Evloev, he's been a little bit inactive, and because of that, they haven't even bothered to give him a title.
Yeah, but you don't know whether it's he's in a availability to fight, or they're not giving him matchups to fight, or Murphy. You're only speculating on that, really. Because you don't know what really happens behind the scenes. And yeah, the UFC is what you're seeing on the outside is not what's happening behind the scenes. So there's a lot of politics involved. I don't like to get involved. I just like to play the game because it is a game. And yeah, that's it.
How I see it is, in terms of legacy for Volkanovski, you want to see him fight a whole bunch of different people, you know, add to the resume of the list of opponents. He's already proven that he can beat Diego, and Diego's gone better, and there is a chance that Diego...
I agree with you there, but this is what I'm getting at, that's not the way the UFC operates, okay? At the moment, the UFC is operating as a popularity contest, okay? So if you're popular, and they're looking for new, exciting stars to build up as the new ones fade out, you know, Dustin and, the Gaethjes. You know, there's a lot of guys now, these stars that... are coming to the end of their career, and they're in their last couple of fights, and the UFC needs some stars, and they need to build them fast, because just have a look you know, at who's going out and who's coming up. You know, and that's what they're trying to do. You know, in my opinion, that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to build new superstars to keep the production relevant so people want to see it.
So what do you want to see out of Volkanovski this time around compared to the first performance with Diego entering into this rematch, which I believe is held in Sydney, right?
That's correct, yeah. Oh, look, I don't want to give anything away, but, you know, obviously we want to go out there and finish, you know, and Volk take as less damage as possible and, yeah, come back, you know, keep that belt back here in Australia.
What do you think about the matchup if they do a number one contender between Movzar and Lerone? I personally think Movzar would beat him.
Look, I haven't even thought about that. I was hoping we were going to fight Movzar, you know, and I think, you know, he's the deserving person to fight for it. I don't know what's happening behind the scenes, why they won't, but anyway, that's not for me to decide. That's up to the UFC. But for, in my opinion, he's the deserving. And then Murphy was second, you know. We just beat Diego, and all due respect to Diego, he's a great fighter. I think he's going to be a future champion. But, you know, I don't think he deserved it this time around, unfortunately. But anyway, we've got Diego, so that's what we're looking at. You know, not looking past it. I'm just looking at it, and yeah, we're going to bring this belt, or we're going to keep this belt here.
In freestyle MMA, there's a lot of new guys coming up. Can you tell us who you're seeing right now that's putting a lot of work in the gym that you're proud of and that you want to promote more? Who can we look out for that's amateur right now entering pro?
Probably Zane Martin. He's fighting for the title tonight. Good young kid, very smart, strong, technical. He's got a good eye. He's one to look out for. He's fighting tonight on Samurai Fight Series up here in Sydney. I've got a whole heap of new guys. And my the hardest thing for me in the past has been space. So with the new gym opening, so there's just a lot of lot going on at the moment, trying to get this new gym open. Hopefully in the next 2 or 3 weeks, we should have some mats down. Hopefully if they arrive, and we can start training there. And then it opens the space to have more people training there, because, like I said, I'm limited to two things at my new gym. At my old gym, sorry, parking and floor space, you know, gym space. And I got both at this new one. Plus, we've got the strength and conditioning room. We've got other rooms downstairs. You know, the second part will be the recovery area, you know, with the sauna spas and cold pools and all that sort of stuff. So it's going to be a big, it'll probably one of the bigger MMA gyms, probably in Australia. Once it's complete, it's massive.
What can you tell me about Zane's style? What's different about what he can do compared to other fighters?
It's just got putting it all together, I guess.
And how have you been able to facilitate that development? Is that been his doing? You've helped him, of course. So what have you helped him with?
I just help him as a coach, you know. I just watch him and try and correct him on things like I do with any of the other guys. A lot is on him, you know. He's the way he approaches things, the way he thinks of things. Quiet kid, very quiet, but super intelligent. Everybody's different. I don't try and change people's styles. I just work with their styles. It's probably what I do. And just try and make them better. whether it's trying to, scramble off the ground or control someone off the top, whether it's their striking or whether it's their top wrestling, whether it's their wall work. I just watch them, see how I can improve what they're doing, you know?
Justin Van Heeden fought George Mangos recently, and I want to ask you, what do you think about that performance, and where do you see George going from here?
Pretty bad performance by Justin, as you could see. It was a short camp. Not making excuses for him, but if you don't put the work in, that's what happens to you. You know, he had one chance to get that back off George. He made it clear, you know, he wanted that back, and he could have got it back, but to get, you know, especially against a young, talented kid like George, you've got to put the work in. When you don't, that's what happens, you know.
Can I ask you about some Australian MMA fighters and what your opinions are about their potential?
Yeah.
So first one I want to ask you about is Quillen Sackild, and his abilities within MMA and the UFC now that he's had such breakout performances and he's very hot right now. What do you think about him at lightweight division, top 15?
Look, he's good. He's got a good eye, you know. His fights speak for themselves, you know. He's up there.
Next one I want to ask you about is Jono Michaelis.
Yeah, he's good. Yeah, you know, he was lucky enough to have him and Jimmy come up here and do a bit of training with us last week or the week before, a couple of weeks ago. I don't know. I can't remember when they came up, but, you know, it was good having them there. Jono asks the right question, does the right things, wants to get better. He's going to be one to look out for.
Last one I have for you is Marwan Rahiki.
Yeah, he could be a little superstar too, you know. He's got an exciting fighting style. I don't like that he gets hit so much, but, you know, he's tough, but, you know, he's one to look out for too, you know. I just like him to take less damage because he's a good kid. You know, he's come down and done a bit of training with us, and he could go all the way because he just goes out and gives it, you know, 110 when he goes out, you know. So he's a dangerous fighter for that reason.
Moving back to Volkanovski, we've seen Ilya Topuria do what he did from featherweight to lightweight, and I want to get your opinion on what his achievements have been at lightweight. Do you see a potential that Volkanovski could rematch him and move up to fight Topuria again? Do you see that as a possibility?
As much as I'd like it, I doubt whether that fight would ever happen. You know what I mean? Who knows? Who knows? But I doubt it at this stage. You know, and like I said to you, I'm focused on Diego. I'm not worried about this, that, or anything at the moment. I'm focused on Diego, and that's it.
Joe, who were your original karateka coaches?
Oh man, I had heaps of them.
Is there anyone that you can recall in Sydney that, you know, you got a lot out of or was somebody of interest?
I got something out of everything, you know what I mean? And I went and trained with a lot of people. I went overseas when nobody else was. There's too many, and I don't want to say one person and forget another person. So there was just heaps. There's no one that really stood out to me. I got to train with a lot of good people over the years, you know, like Joe Lewis and Bill Wallace and Danny Nasano and Benny the Jet and all these American guys that would come out and do seminars back in the early 80s. I got a lot out of those because it just reinforced what we were doing here was right, because we didn't know in those days. There was no YouTube, there was no encyclopedias on it. He just had to, hope that the guys that you were training with knew what they were talking about,
Growing up, you've had this successful career within MMA now. Did you intend on having a successful career like this? What did you intend on? Did you just want to be a martial artist? Did you just want to run your gym? You've had such a interesting life now through MMA, so you couldn't have possibly predicted this, right?
No. I was running nightclubs and security and all that. And when I turned 40, I was just over that scene. I just thought I was getting too old for it. And I thought the younger guys should take it over and I should retire. And I bought an old church down the road from my house and I wanted to give back to what gave me so much, which was the martial arts. So to me, it was just a hobby gym, just train guys. I'd get enough money and I'd just go on holiday, visit new places because I was semi-retired, That was my intention when I started the gym, And yeah, the rest is history, I guess.
My final question for you, I'm going to take you back to Max Holloway versus Volkanovski number one. During this fight, nobody really knew about Volk, and even the people that did were doubting him, saying that he wasn't going to get this one done, right? So can you run me through the experience of that fight and then the jubilation that you and Volk shared finally getting the belt for the first time?
Look, everyone's always doubted us, and I've never looked at it that way, so I don't understand how I can answer that question. And I don't think Volk's the same. We just go into each fight. Honestly, I don't stress. I don't worry about anything. I know Volk's done the hard work, and then we just have to let the process, play out. Winning the same, sometimes I have to say to myself, man, I should get a little bit more excited, but I guess I expect him to get it. And I don't know. The other guys get a lot excited, but I guess I'm not a very emotional. I try not to get him. Oh, it's not that I don't try. It's just, I'm just not that kind of a person,
That's all we have time for, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Joe, for your time. Is there any final remarks you want to say to everybody listening as we wrap up the podcast today going into this fight with Diego for a rematch?
I could, but I'm not going to say anything.
Follow Joe Lopez on Instagram, link in the description, and follow Anything Combat. Become a combatant.
Become a combatant.